thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
We're back. It's the Urban Sports Scene. I am Wally.
And I am his co-host.
Ice Willie T?
Nah, just your co-host.
No, don't say that.
You just sound like I don't have a name.
Dude, you make sound like...
I'm just a...
I said Wally. Dude, you have a name.
I don't have a name.
You're on the freaking...
I'm anonymous.
You do know, like, you're
on... I'm anonymous. I'm not on social media, so I don't know anything.
On the website blurb, your alias is on there.
Okay.
Not your whole government, but your alias.
I mean, okay. If you say so.
Why are you being difficult?
I'm not being difficult, man.
Episode... 1 through whatever, you already stated your name before.
Okay. But it might be somebody out there new.
Somebody new looking for you?
Yeah,
they
man.
Searching.
The they searching.
You know, it's scary.
Streets be watching, man.
Streets are definitely watching. Well, I am Wally. My other nickname is Wally-O, as you know, Wally-O.podbeam.com. That's my nickname, my other alias. And this is Mr. Anonymous right now.
The Many Face God. You watch Game of Thrones?
No, I don't. I don't have HBO. Man, unfortunately, I don't have it.
It's a character on Game of Thrones, Many Face God.
My a coworker of mine, she loves that show.
I love it too. That and When Power Comes Back on the Saturday, those are probably like the only two.
What's different? I mean, Power is just like Empire, right?
No, it's not. Empire is like
Power.
It's like what's that other show on Fox? Glee. That's like, you know how Glee is a acting. It's a musical?
It's a musical, yeah.
So this is like a hip-hop musical. That's what Empire is. Yeah, it's like
so
a
hip-hop. So what's Power like that? Because 50 said it's a knockoff, kind of like.
It is a knockoff. I mean, Power's about a ghost. I'm not going to give the whole thing, but it's about this guy named Ghost who's a drug dealer who's trying to go legit and open up clubs, but he has personal problems, and then, you know, he's kind of tugging between the streets and, you know, going legit. So it's actually a very great show. And for those of you, and I don't know why I'm doing an advertisement for it, because I'm not getting paid for it.
Go ahead, talk about the show.
June 6th, when it comes back on Stars, I advise you to watch it, or, you know, try to catch it online or something like that.
You don't have Stars again. Okay. I used to have it, though.
Yeah, I know you did. Yeah, I know what happened. You know what happened.
I know what happened. I don't need everybody else out there listening to the show to knows what happened. But it's gone. That's all I need to know. All right. Our phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. Go ahead, Will.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
All right. Redskins wide receiver DeSean Jackson missed last week. Last week of voluntary camp. He's back this week. Is it a big deal for real? Was it a big deal?
Keyword, voluntary.
Exactly.
And absolutely no. I mean, but. In retrospect, well, there's a duality to it. And I'm not going to go on for this for a long time. But if you're trying to establish a culture, a winning culture, then you probably want 100% participation in your off-season optional, off-season voluntary workouts. So if you're Jay Gruden, you're Scott McLuhan, you're Bruce Allen, you're Dan Snyder, you're the upper management brass, you probably want 100% participation, particularly from a guy who's probably the most productive offensive player that you had last year, to kind of set the standard. But I really don't see it as that big of a thing because it's voluntary and he didn't have to be there.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's voluntary, so he doesn't need to be there. I've always stated that before. I think we've had prior discussions about other players in past shows about people skipping voluntary workouts. But I do agree with you in this part. The Redskins were a losing team last season, so ideally you would want all your players in camp, even though it's voluntary, whatnot, to bring a winning culture. But again, DeSean Jackson, he's been doing this for X amount of years now, and has still been very consistent with the stats he's put up. So you already know what you're getting with DeSean Jackson. So in that regard, you'd like to give that player the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, I give all players benefit of the doubt because it's voluntary.
All players?
Yeah, all players. Listen.
If RG3, like, to be honest with you, if RG3 didn't come in, I would have a problem with that.
Well, it's voluntary, so I wouldn't have a problem with none of them showed up because they don't have to be there. It's voluntary.
Yeah, but I think some people need to work rather than others.
Some people need to work, but it's voluntary.
Yeah, it's just like, but it shows,
Listen, dude, my answer is not going to change.
I know it's
not. Voluntary.
I'm trying to change your answer right now.
You're not going to change.
So what happened with that student who's just terrible, right? He's terrible. And like you can't, well, not terrible, but he's just not grasping it. Grasping whatever he's having, he has to learn the subject. Subject matter. He's not grasping the subject matter. All right. But he's getting the opportunity, even though it's voluntary, to put in X amount of time to understand the subject. Wouldn't you want the kid to take the X amount of time to understand or learn the subject rather than say, okay, it's voluntary, I don't gotta do it. Who
dude, cares? You're speaking on just about anyone who has a college experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you know, you had the option to study when you're not in class.
That's true, yeah, exactly.
That's voluntary. Yeah. So you choose not to. So yeah. You just deal with the repercussions in your performance, and whatever happens, and you accept it.
And folks, that's why I'm not a computer science major, making a boatload of money. This is the truth. But yeah, I agree with Will. It is voluntary, so you know he can do what he wants to do. He's earned that. He's worked hard enough in his career to do that. Anyway, let's go down to pregame. Running back Adrian Peterson will attend Vikings OTAs.
Adrian Peterson has 250,000 reasons to show up to their workout. So I commend the man, even though last week he kind of went on, unfiltered stream of consciousness. He was just, I guess he was fed up with his situation and he went to Twitter. And, you know, a lot of people, were kind of confused and maddened because he's a rich athlete who's making more money to play a game than most people are making their lifetime. But, you know, I do think even though he's been frustrated and everything he's went through, he does have some valid points. It's just that he may not be the guy to deliver that message at this time.
Well, I'm happy. Let me say this. You know, I'm always state this. I didn't think Adrian Peterson did anything wrong with the situation, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
He needed to come back to this team. This team didn't really want to suspend him or get rid of him, but they, just because of what happened, the climate with Ray Rice, they had to do what they had to do. But this team wanted him. The coach made it out. The coach was out there saying, we want Adrian Peterson to be a part of this team.
Well, no, he didn't say that particularly. He said before, if he doesn't, he plays for us and no one at all.
Yeah, before that statement he did make, that statement he was kind of gave him like, yeah, you're going to play for us or you ain't going to play with nobody at all. Okay. Before he made that statement, Zimmerman has always toed the line stating that, we want Adrian Peterson in Minnesota. Like, he's always said that.
Okay.
Like, he's wanted him there. So, the team want Adrian Peterson. And if I'm Adrian Peterson looking at this team, I'm looking at it like, this is the most talented Minnesota Vikings team we had offensively in a while. You see what's going on with Teddy Bridgewater. I like the draft of local kid from Maryland, Diggs.
Stephon Diggs. He's like Percy Harvin 2.0.
Yeah, exactly. Ask me a better receiver. Percy Harvin was more electric, in my opinion, but he's a better receiver. And then they still have the Patterson kid.
Who hasn't panned out, Cordell Patterson.
Yeah, Cordell Patterson. But who's a playmaker in his own
He's a playmaker way. When you get him the ball in his hands, but he just hasn't developed a true receiver.
I totally agree. So he has talent around him. So I like what Minnesota has to offer him. So if I'm Adrian Peterson, it's a way to honestly, even though I'm going to say this again, I don't think he did anything wrong, but it's a way to revamp his image. You know, play well, do his thing, and he's, you know, he's AP, and everybody forgets about everything else that happened last season.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, kudos to him. Go back there, get that money. If you really want to get out of Minnesota, just become a headache for them during training camp.
Do you think that's his plan, though?
No, I don't think that's his plan. I think Adrian Peterson is a stand-up guy who unfortunately had a moment that some people judged him as being wrong. But I think he's a stand-up guy. He'll go and he'll be a professional. He'll be one of the top three running backs in the NFL next year.
All right. So on our Facebook Urban Sports Scene page, my man Kamal said he has to shut up and play.
Doesn't have to shut up.
A few big runs and it's all good.
I mean, you know, he comes back with a 1,600-yard season. No one's going to complain.
No, I agree. I mean, it's AP. My man George was up. George said, Have a great season. Show everyone that you have enough left of the tank, and some team will meet the Vikings' price and get you out of town.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, everyone's saying he has no leverage. He does have some leverage. He does have a play. He could be such a distraction and a headache that he makes it uncomfortable for Minnesota. And he could do that by articulating how he feels about the situation and talking about his contract in the public. Mike Zimmer seems like a no-nonsense guy who really doesn't want to be bothered with that. So if he wants to get out of Minnesota, I'm not saying that he'll do this, but he does have some leverage. You can always be a nuisance. You could be a thorn in their side.
I'm going to argue with that one. All right, let's go pregame. The Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton have agreed on a 5-year, $103 million extension. He signed through 2020.
Happy for Cam Newton. He deserves it. I mean, considering that the GM and the upper management hasn't put in a lot around him. You know, they gave two horrible contracts to their running back, Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. They drafted Calvin Benjamin, who looks like he could be the real deal. You have Greg Olsen. They drafted another wide receiver in the second round from Michigan this year.
Funches.
Yeah, I can't pronounce his last name, so I'm not going to even try.
Funches.
Yeah. So,
oh no, believe me, he should be playing tight end, not wide receiver though.
Yeah, but you know, Cam Newton is deserving just because he's literally put the offense on his back his first 4 years in the league. So congratulations to Cam Newton.
Yeah, definitely agree. I agree with Will. Cam Newton is one of the more talented quarterbacks in the game. He's taking this team to the postseason twice, I believe. All right, twice. Once being beat by the Niners. Hosting a playoff game. With that year, they went 12-4, 13-3 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
So, and last year, though finishing under 500,
still winning the division.
And beating the Arizona Cardinals in the wild card round. So, Cam Newton, and like Will said too as well, this is the team that stripped them away from talent. You know, you let Steve Smith go, and though Benjamin looks like the real deal, but if we looked into last season, we're like, wow, you gave him nothing. And he still was able, regardless of the record, to win a division and take this team to the postseason. And doing it hurt with the accident and whatnot. So, and in my opinion, the Carolina Panthers kind of take Cam Newton for granted. They don't build enough around him. The offensive line could be better. And it's a guy who takes a beating and punishment with the hits he occurs throughout the season. So, big ups to Cam Newton. I still would like him to improve as a passer. I think that will happen. He is getting better. I think he's more mature compared to what he was his second season. His first season was great, but the second season. So I like where Cam Newton's headed. Now, hopefully the Carolina Panthers will give him weapons so he can do what he needs to do, though.
Yeah, I have nothing more to add, but, you know, congrats to Cam. It's well-deserved. As you said, he does need to continue to progress, and I think he will do that. And the reality is people will say he's getting paid too much, but this is the market for a franchise quarterback. You would rather have the problem of paying this guy than not having a franchise quarterback to pay.
All right,
so the Orioles, your Orioles, let's go up to 95, as I like to say. Wally's Orioles, they're on a three-game losing streak, 23-27. The three games out of first place. Should the Orioles consider being sellers in the mediocre if this mediocre play continues?
It's crazy. I didn't think about this. Actually, give my man Kamish, who gave me this idea for a topic. Didn't think about it. The Orioles, should they be sellers? You know, at first, you know, obviously the division is bad. The Yankees, the Orioles, three games out, two games at the lost side behind the New York Yankees, who are first place, and the Rays.
Go Yankees.
Yeah, and I believe the Rays are second. The Orioles, I mean, I would consider getting rid of somebody like Chris Davis. Chris Davis is getting hot. I would get rid of Chris Davis. A couple other pitchers I wouldn't mind getting rid of. Like, if we can get rid of Bud Norris, that'd be fine. These are players that, though, are important to the Orioles. They do have some value, and you can get something back in return. And if the way the division is, they could still be able to compete and get rid of these individuals. Now, granted, people would say, well, Chris Davis, he just came, you know, last season was a down year, but the year before that, he had like an MVP-ish kind of season. He's getting hot now this season. But at the end of the day, we're at the Orioles are at an opportunity to stock their team with talent. And why in baseball, if you can stock your minor league system with young talent, guys you can bring up, and I would get position players. And obviously, some position players. I do like some of the pitchers they do have. With the kid right now who's pitching tonight against the Houston Astros, and you got Dylan Bundy who's not too far off, and you still got Gausman. So this team has a lot of young guns for pitching, and then if they can just make some trades to get some young bats, that'll be cool. Matt Wieters, I think about trading Matt Wieters. Caleb Joseph has been good for the Orioles. Sometimes you don't need a superstar catcher. Caleb Joseph has been good. He's gonna be cheaper. Matt Wieters is a guy who has a lot of value. Maybe you consider trading Matt Wieters if he comes back and hits swell. Use one of my words. Hits swell. I'd consider trading him. There's only a couple of players I wouldn't trade for the Baltimore Orioles. One, it's Adam Jones because he's the heart of the team. Manny Machado, this will be the superstar of the team. Probably, and honestly, that's about it in that regard. Everybody else to me could be tradable.
So it's a fire sale. Anyone can go.
For me, it would be. For me, it would be. I wouldn't like totally trade everybody at once. But there are guys that no one's untouchable. Other than those two players. Like, okay, to me, Manny Machado and Adam Jones are untouchable. You know, once they let go of Nick Markakis and Nelson Cruz, to me, they let him go and let him walk. Everybody's touchable now. Other than those two guys. Because, again, Manny Machado is a guy who represents an opportunity to be probably one of the best players in his era as he gets older. You know, he'll compete with the Mike Trouts and Bryce Harpers down the road. But when I look at and even the kid Bryant for the Chicago Cubs, when I look at the other guys that are on the roster, now JJ Hardy's an older player playing shortstop. And Jonathan Scope can stay on the team. He's still a young guy who shows a lot, but he's injured right now. But when I look at Matt Wieters, he's a guy who's going to be pricey, and he hasn't been healthy the last couple of years, and doesn't like, you know, and he could be damaged goods. You never know. You know, the outfield position, we had no stability in the outfield other than Adam Jones. And again, first base, Chris Davis, but we can put Paredes, who has hit well for the Orioles, but has struggled of late. We can play him at first. So we do have options. We don't have to have these players in the Orioles uniform. We can use them as bait to bring in younger talent.
Okay.
So, I mean, I knew I had some couple questions on. Hold on. I had a couple questions. We can go to the next topic. I'll read them off, though. A couple of responses about this topic.
No, go ahead.
If I can find it.
Okay. So, but let's go back down to 295 to D.C. to a team that everyone wants to talk about. Yeah. One of the best, hottest teams in baseball.
One of the hottest teams. They got swept by the Cincinnati Reds.
But they're still one of the hottest teams in the MLB. Would you agree?
They are, yeah, they're a decent.
Would you
team.
Agree?
They're a decent team.
Right? I wouldn't say decent. Washington decent Nationals pitcher, the great Steven Strasburg. Now, let me stop playing. He hasn't proven to be great just yet. He's now on the DL. Up to this date, his Nationals career has been disappointing. That's what you would say, correct?
That's what I would say. You know, I like Strasburg, so yes, I would say it's disappointing because I thought he would. We'll put it like this. Like, to me, it's been bad. It's been bad ever since the shutdown. Let's put it that way.
No, you can't say that because last year he led the league, the majors in strikeouts.
Yeah, no, I know what I mean. Like, in terms of what he's supposed
well,
to
no,
do.
Well, no, I'll say.
In terms of his dominance.
I'll say what people have. He hasn't met people's expectations for being a dominant starter. Be it for inconsistency reasons, dealing whether it's mental, whether it's his mechanics, whatever it is. Now he has the injury. Some people are saying that, you know, even though it's a trapezius muscle, they're like, a left trapezius muscle has nothing to do with him being a right hand thrower. How does that affect him? So they're saying it's more of a mental thing. So that people are trying to say, you know, they're coming up with an excuse. It's more of mental than anything or arm thing. But I don't think that's the I don't think that's the reason. I think that maybe he does have injuries going on, and he has to just work through whatever mental impediments he has about those injuries, and he has to deal with his mechanics. And I think he'll get back, and he'll help round this rotation into the rotation that we all think it could be, and help lead Washington to a pennant.
I think it's so mental. with him, because when you watch him play, when you watch him pitch, he could be the first inning, the first couple of innings, he tends to struggle, and you could tell it has that quicksand approach. It's like that quicksand, approach to a point where as soon as he gets adversity, then it's like you can tell he's overthinking it, and now it's like, okay, I got to make the perfect pitch. And once a pitcher tries to make the perfect pitch, they get out of the strike zone, so I walk a couple people. Then it's like, okay, let me groove this fastball in, and somebody may hit a home run or hit a double, hit whatever, and now you have a rally in the inning. To me, he's overthinking it. His stuff is top of the line. It's probably one of the best. It's one of the best in terms of stuff I've seen in a pitcher in a long time. The first two years I saw Steven Strasburg, I was impressed. The guy I see now is a guy that I feel like is trying to prove a point. And Steven Strasburg just pitches the way folks know he can pitch, he'll be fine. You know what I mean? But it's getting to a point where you can tell he's overthinking everything. You know, like this injury isn't that serious for him to pitch this poorly. This injury that he has is not that serious. He's better than this. I think he's, in my opinion, he's better. He's a better pitcher than Scherzer, but he's not pitching like it.
Well, he has the ability to be a better pitcher. He hasn't shown it thus far. Mm-hmm. I think what, you know, Steven Strasburg has to do is just be comfortable in himself when he's out on the mound. Know that there's going to be ups and downs. Know that he can overcome whatever obstacles that he faces on the mound, because he has the stuff per se as a pitcher to overcome that, you know, and he just needs to learn how to not try to overpower batters, but use his mechanics, use off speed pitches, ball placement, things of that nature. He'll be perfectly fine.
Read a couple comments on Facebook. My man, Thom Castino said, has Strasburg been a disappointment? He says, I think so. We have never really seen the pitcher we all saw prior to the Tommy John surgery. You look at Matt Harvey. You look how Matt Harvey has come back from this injury. Come back this year, and he's basically the same as before. But Strasburg has lost the electric fastball at least 2 miles slower average. He's been very good, not great. My man, Irene said, I've always viewed Strasburg as something of a prima donna. He's a superb pitcher, has amazing talent, but seems to need or lack of a better word, a baby. Oh, she called him a baby. Yeah.
Wow.
He is forever having issues, and whether they are physical or mental, they keep him from maintaining his top performance.
We're all entitled to our opinion.
I wouldn't call him a baby, though.
I think that's a bit...
a little harsh.
That is harsh.
That's harsh. Not a baby. Yeah. I think it's mental with him. I'm going to read one more comment. my man, Ali said he's had some great numbers, but never equates to wins. I say start Roark when Fister's back. So
we need Roark to be the long reliever.
Is Ali saying take Strauss out of the rotation?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't really see that happening.
That's not happening. That's not happening at all. Anyway, down to pregame. In boxing, Amir Khan beat Chris Algieri on Saturday.
It was Friday night.
All right. On Friday night, excuse me. And then he called out Floyd.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I've always stated, like I said, if he's focused and he's in the right frame of mind, I think Amir Khan has the skills, the physical ability, and the hand speed to give Floyd Mayweather problems because of his reach, his lateral movement, and also his hand movement. What I saw from him fighting Chris Algieri didn't look as such. Chris Algieri was able to land some big shots. We all know, well, I'm not going to say we all, but people who follow boxing know that Chris Algieri isn't that big of a puncher. He landed some flush shots on Amir Khan. Amir Khan didn't put up the greatest performance when he had center stage to show everyone why he was deserving of a shot at Floyd Mayweather in September. You keep calling him out. You won't take fights such as a Kell Brook fight, which would be huge in England. You're probably going to scoff at the notion that fighting a guy, the winner of a Sean Porter, Adrian Broner, or a guy like Keith Thurman. But you consistently keep calling out Floyd Mayweather. If I were Amir Khan, and Amir Khan has one of the best trainers in boxing, Virgil Hunter. Virgil Hunter is one of the best, absolutely best trained strategists when it comes to getting his fighters ready for a fight. But Amir Khan, Amir Khan didn't put up the type of performance that will warrant a great shot, a shot at Floyd Mayweather. Now, Amir Khan is a name. Amir Khan has a following. So he's still not out of the running because Floyd Mayweather is going to need a big opponent. For September. And the reality is, I'm not saying that Floyd Mayweather doesn't fight these type of fighters, but I think him and the people around him know that it doesn't do big business for him to fight an African-American fighter. If that African-American fighter doesn't have a large following like him, an international fighter, whether it be Latino, whether it be Puerto Rican, whether it be someone from England like Amir Khan, brings that following, that brings the dollars, and will make it a more buzzed and interesting fight. So for that reason, I still think that there's a chance for Amir Khan to get the fight. It's either between, to me, it's between him or Danny Garcia.
Ooh, Danny Garcia, I like that one.
But if I had to put money on it right now, I would probably say Amir Khan. He fights Amir Khan in September, but I just don't think performance he put on. Huh?
He's quitting Ramadan. He's going.
Oh yeah.
He's already said it. If he wants to give it up.
He has to give up Ramadan.
So he has to go against religion.
Has to go against his religion. So, It's tough. It's tough. But you know, he probably sees it as a once in a lifetime opportunity. So, whatever works for him. But just to me, from what I saw Friday night, didn't necessarily. It was a solid performance, but it doesn't warrant a huge fight.
I didn't see
against Floyd Mayweather.
So I didn't see the fight, but some people thought that he actually could have lost the fight.
I wouldn't say he would have lost the fight. I think what you saw was Chris Algieri was a guy who didn't fight his typical fight, being a guy who keeps you at distance and tries to work his way in with the behind the jab. Chris Algieri came straight forward most of the time without throwing a jab, without throwing a check left hook or anything like that. He was just up in Amir Khan's grill. Amir Khan couldn't finish him. We all know that Manny Pacquiao knocked down Chris Algieri like 6 times. Ruslan Pravetnikov, even though he knocked him down twice and left him with a very puffy, very bad eye, Chris Algieri still weathered the storm and won that fight. But Amir Khan, like I said, he didn't warrant anything. He didn't warrant anything to make you say, "Ooh, I have to see Amir Khan fight again." Mm-hmm. Just didn't happen on Friday night.
So you mentioned Danny Garcia.
Yeah. All right. I think that would be a huge fight.
You've always stated that Amir Khan was probably the
Let's be crystal clear before you misconstrue my words. I want to say it. Amir Khan has the physical ability and physical attributes to give Floyd Mayweather one of his toughest fights ever.
I totally agree. And that's what I'm trying to get to. How does Danny Garcia compare to Floyd in that regard?
I think Danny Garcia, just because he loves to throw that looping left hook, will make himself susceptible to Floyd Mayweather's counterpuncher. Danny Garcia has pretty good hand speed, but he doesn't have blazing hand speed. Mm-hmm. Danny Garcia is a guy who's a very good tactician at cutting the ring off, setting the pace of a fight. So I think it would be an interesting fight if Danny Garcia were to stay on the inside and throw the punches, throw short punches, particularly to the body against Floyd Mayweather. It would give you some oohs and ahs moments where people who are just watching the fight, or better yet, people who hate Floyd Mayweather, would be like, "Oh yeah, he got him. But I ultimately will, it'll end up being like one of his other fights, 9-3. You know, Danny Garcia might get off early, then, you know, second to third round, he might catch him and you'll be like, ooh, ah, but fourth round through 12, Floyd Mayweather would just coast.
Yeah, I don't think Danny Garcia would have a chance against Floyd, to be honest with you. I don't even think it would be competitive at all. Period.
I'm not going to say it wouldn't be competitive. He would land some shots, but it wouldn't be. No.
Okay. Because I don't think he's that busy. He's not busy enough, in my opinion.
No, he's not that busy of a fighter, but, you know, he does have decent power with that left hook. And it could be interesting, but then again, if he keeps throwing that looping left hook, Floyd Mayweather just shoulder roll and counter with a straight right.
And catch him.
Yep.
You can catch him.
Every time.
We saw what happened last fight with the Lamont. I don't know. Anyway, down to pregame. The New Orleans Pelicans hire Golden State Warriors associate head coach Alvin Gentry to become their new head coach.
This is going to be interesting for the simple fact that Steve Kerr got a lot of praise for what he did with this team this year. You know, Steve Kerr was the, you know, head coach, and he brought, you know, we know that he played in a triangle offense with Phil Jackson, and also he played for those San Antonio teams. I think he got two titles with San Antonio.
With the Spurs, I think.
Yeah, so, you know, he learned from two of the best coaches in modern basketball we've seen over the last 15 years, mm-hmm. Popovich and Jackson. But one thing that a lot of people didn't discuss is the addition of Alvin Gentry to that coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And if you see what they've done offensively, kind of with the free flowing, and also getting the pace at which they run their offense at, a lot of that has to do with Alvin Gentry. Mm-hmm. You know, Alvin Gentry was a guy who was in Phoenix with Dan Toney with the 7 seconds left. Mm-hmm. And Alvin Gentry, to me, has always been a guy who's very creative offensively, but where he's really lacked is kind of the overall management and kind of on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, you know. And, you know, just from what Golden State did this season, a lot of people are saying that has defensively, some of Gentry's name, you know, his trademarks, his style. So it'll be interesting to see if he was able to grow as a coach over this past year, has gotten better with some of the management of the roster, and also with making some adjustments. And we'll see, you know, if he's able to carry that over to New Orleans. And also the flip side is that is how does this affect Golden State going into next year? And not only next year, but these finals.
Exactly. I was thinking that.
So it's going to be
distraction. Distraction?
Will it be a distraction? But I don't think it will be. But, you know, congratulations to him. I think the New Orleans Pelicans, they have the opportunity to build something with a guy who really astute offensively with Anthony Davis.
Yeah, this hire, Alvin Gentry gets a, I always thought, like, to me, he got a lot of chances, man.
he's a good coach. Mm-hmm. X and O's. He's a good coach.
So when I look at Alvin Gentry, I'm like, this guy gets a lot of chances. Not knocking him. His offensively, you know, we have to be real. He's a genius. Steve Kerr gets a lot of the credit, you know, but let's look at Alvin Gentry, what he did with Phoenix. You know, even when they lost a couple of players, that team was still scoring points. Then you look at, he was also with the Clippers. I think he was on the Clippers staff too as well, and they were doing well. So he's coached with Doc. He's coached with D'Antoni. Steve Kerr, obviously, you know, coach of the year. But I think Steve Kerr gets a lot of credit for what Alvin Gentry brought to the table.
Yeah,
and even the other assistant they have that's a good defensive coach. I forgot his name.
I don't want to take anything away from Steve Kerr because he did a tremendous job this year as the head coach, went leading them to 67-15, yeah. which a lot of people really appreciate. You're watching one of the all time great teams.
Yeah, no one really understands NBA. That.
Yeah,
seriously.
no one
67
really,
wins.
Yeah.
Like the Bulls won 72, which was good, was phenomenal.
The Boston Celtics won 68.
And
back in 86.
The Lakers won 69.
Yeah. So this is one of the historically great teams, and I don't think people are really appreciating that, what they're seeing mm-hmm. right now. But, you know, we'll have all next week, starting this Thursday, to, you know, see if they come into fruition and really finish the season out with an NBA championship.
Yeah, but back to the main topic, though, Gentry. Yeah, Gentry, I think he'll do a good job if he can get this team, the New Orleans Pelicans, to run run it up, have a running gun type of offense with, you know, the way Anthony Davis can run the floor, and they do have shooters. People don't understand, they do have shooters. Eric Gordon can shoot. You're gonna have Holiday come back.
Tyreek Evans. Ryan Anderson.
I'm trying to think of shooters, but Ryan Anderson. Norris Cole's off the bench, your backup point guard. I mean, you have depth on this team, and you have talent too as well. And you, truth be told, young enough talent. So I like what he's gonna bring to the table for the New Orleans Pelicans. Defensively, I think they'll be fine, because when you look at Anthony Davis, your best player is one of the better defensive players in the league. So if your best player is one of the better defensive players in the NBA, 9 times out of 10, that has a trickle down effect, and that will work for him and his team. So I like the hiring. Again, he's a coach that gets a lot of opportunities, but again, I think it's deservingly so. He's a coach that does know his X's and O's. So we'll see what happens. On Facebook, I talked about the hiring. My man Troy Perry said, I'm surprised at the timing, but not the hiring. While Gentry has had several chances in the past, he's proven to be an offensive genius. Maybe he just needs a strong defensive assistant on the bench to balance him out.
Or maybe he just needs a star player who's committed to defense, who you can funnel everything to, who can alter shots, Anthony Davis.
That's true. And my man Jay Love said Mark Jackson is toxic. No one will touch him. Because he wasn't. Talk about him.
Talked about how Mark Jackson was hard, supposedly, allegedly hard to work with. But you know, the management wanted him to make changes to his coaching staff so he can improve, mix things up offensively, so it could be a faster pace, more free flowing. Mm-hmm. He refused. That's why he was let go. We see what happens when this team doesn't play isolation basketball.
Yeah.
They're far better. They have the shooters. They're far better. But the cusp of what they do defensively hasn't really changed. Mm-hmm. Since they've gone to Steve Kerr. Yeah. To be honest,
they haven't. No, defensively they haven't changed.
Yeah, I think
it's more of a motion offense, though.
Yeah, it's far more of a motion offense opposed to an isolation offense.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think we can't consistently say that Mark Jackson was a terrible coach because of the results that Steve Kerr is getting.
No.
Mark Jackson changed the culture from what it was.
Definitely.
And he helped improve and make this and help put this team to taking baby steps to get to where
they are. I feel bad for Mark Jackson. He has to watch the team that he helped get to a certain point, go to the NBA Finals, and have a great opportunity to win every
day. Mama, there goes that man.
Hands down, man. I feel for you, man. I love Mark Jackson. I'm a fan of Mark Jackson. Anyway, let's go down to pregame. Another coaching hire, Fred Hoiberg. I think today
he just signed a contract, like $5 million a year.
$5 million a year. How many years?
Five. It's like $25 million.
Mm-hmm. Fred Hoiberg is now the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. We all know that he's replacing Tom Thibodeau.
I'll say this. Last time the Bulls got a head coach from Iowa State, didn't turn out so good with Tim Floyd. Tom Thibodeau. I think of these things.
I feel you, man.
Tom Thibodeau, he's one of the better coaches in the NBA. Yeah. He's a defensive stalwart. He's a guy who changed the culture to a hardworking culture, which they didn't have since Michael Jordan left that team. It's a risky move. I understand why you did it. Fred Hoiberg is going to bring in more of a motion offense, kind of what they're doing, what you see in Golden State. But I wonder how that culture is going to change. And, you know, one of the biggest complaints about Tom Thibodeau was there were a couple complaints that he was hard to work with and he was too much of a grinder. By grinder, that, you know, Jimmy Butler, I think, played the most minutes in the NBA this year. So towards the end of that season, towards the playoffs, the team was gassed because, you know, Tom Thibodeau plays his starters and gives them so many minutes and didn't rest them. But he created a culture of hard work and defense. If you're able to keep that culture in, but have a guy like Fred Hoiberg, who's, you know, some think can be a better offensive coach. I don't think that is that'll be the case, but you know, we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see because you know, you're going to have Derrick Rose who should be healthy. You need to re-sign Jimmy Butler. You got Joakim Noah, Taj Gibson. So you have the pieces in place to make a championship run. It's just that is Fred Hoiberg really the guy that you think can do this for you?
College is college. The professionals are professionals, man. He did a great job at Iowa State, so let's give him credit for that. He did a great job over there. This is the Chicago Bulls. We saw what Tom Thibodeau did. I think Tom Thibodeau was disrespected by the Chicago Bulls. And I don't care if he kind of rubbed folks the wrong way. The same thing we saw with Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco. We look at it. You know, he rubbed the organization the wrong way. And now, you know, and people, and that led him to be the coach of the Michigan Wolverines right now. And if you look at Tom Thibodeau, he's gone because he didn't have a good rapport with management. People thought, like you said, he probably kind of overplayed players and drove them to the mud in terms of, I'm sorry, you want to say something else?
I just want to interject real quick. It's crazy to me that probably over the last 25 years, the two most successful coaches in Chicago, Phil Jackson and Tom Thibodeau, was run out by management because they were quote unquote hard to work with.
Exactly.
So to me, that's telling me that A, you value
relationships rather than
production. Yeah. So you want a guy who, you know, I've always said, I'll take the a-hole.
Yeah, there you go.
Because, you know, at least I know that's someone who's passionate and who's thinking. And, you know, we might not always agree, but at least that'll spark debate and that'll allow for creativity and for things for, you know, us to possibly keep things fresh and new and invigorated. But if you just want a yes guy, a guy that's going to always say yes, 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 then you're oftentimes going to end up with a loser franchise. So I'm not going to discount Fred Hoiberg at just this point. You know, he has, I think he's been an assistant coach in the NBA. And he's also worked in the front office of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had great success, at Iowa State as the head coach, coaching at home where he won like 85% of his games.
Yeah.
But on the road, he only won like 30% of his games.
And granted, he's going to have a talented NBA roster. And that's a lot of times when we look at college coaches, they don't have that opportunity to have a roster that many feel that could get to the NBA finals. But again, like you said, it's like you're into business. You got a business background. You have business background. Winning produces money in the NBA. Okay, anybody tells me. When you win, if you get to an opportunity to get to a level of winning, it produces money. Right?
Yeah, it does, but at the same time, I guess they were thinking that you can be an a-hole, but yeah. That's why Phil Jackson lasted so long. Exactly. Phil Jackson was an a-hole, but he was an a-hole who won championships.
Exactly, yeah.
Tom Thibodeau was an a-hole and he couldn't get the team over the hump.
Yeah.
So I think ultimately that's the reason why they let go of him, because, you know, even though he was successful from a regular season perspective,
yeah,
they just didn't see the value in keeping a guy who you can't work with, who doesn't bring championships.
So, but that, it goes back to the point where he was doing it when players were hurt. Like, I guess they would blame him.
They were blaming him for the way he grinds them during practice and during the regular season with all the minutes.
That's amazing to me, because that's a guy again who you look at the talent around, it wasn't that good. And the talent due to injury and what he got out of his players, because that's a telling sign. That even with injuries, when your players are busting their ass to play hard for you, that shows you they're playing for their coach.
Absolutely.
That's a telling sign. So it's that means the players do like their coach.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? If they didn't like him, they quit on him. Anyway, down to pregame. An anonymous NBA player stated, and which is reported, that looks like Kevin Durant will be coming back home to the Washington Wizards. We'll come back home to play for the Washington Wizards. Do you believe this person?
I mean, me and you've had a conversation about this off mic.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put out what I've heard.
Yeah, me too. I ain't gonna know what I heard.
I think that
I heard something totally different, though.
No, I actually there's a possibility that he could come home, but
yeah,
there's also the possibility that he doesn't, or he goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, are the only three options. But
yeah.
but no, I don't really put a lot of stake into what this guy is saying, this anonymous player, if you believe so wholeheartedly, you should put your name out there.
Yeah.
Put your name by it, stamp it. But
be proud of your word.
Yeah, be proud of what you have to say. But you know, if he does come to DC, great. If he doesn't, bad, you know, kind of too bad. But, you know, ultimately, I do think with John Wall and Bradley Beal, you have the foundation for a team that's going to be competitive and hopefully get you deep into the playoffs every year. But I ultimately don't think that you're going to make that jump to championship basketball unless you get rid of the guy at the top, which is Ernie Grunfeld. Unless you get someone who's a better talent evaluator.
Okay.
As far as picking players.
I thought we're getting him to a point where Ernie's deserving some credit now.
No, he does deserve credit. Okay. But when it comes June 20th, when the draft time comes,
yeah,
I'll probably cringe because there'll be a guy that's better that's out there that's still on the board, and Ernie will make the wrong pick because he has a track record of not bringing in talent
to the draft. Of late, he's done a pretty decent job.
No. Let's be honest and let's be clear.
Uh-huh.
Ernie has set a fire,
uh-huh,
put the fire out.
Got you.
That's what he's done consistently during, mm-hmm, his time in Washington. Mm-hmm. He set fires and put the fire out and then started to rebuild the house and say, oh, look at what I did. No, you shouldn't have set the fire in the first place. No one told you to smoke inside the house.
That's what you believe of Ernie.
I think that he's done a great job in rebuilding the team, but when it comes to evaluating talent in the draft,
mm-hmm,
I just don't feel comfortable.
See,
particularly because of the names of Jan Vesely and Chris Singleton.
Chris Singleton could have been something. I still believe
could have. Yeah, he could.
I think he could have been something. Chris Singleton could have been.
I could have been an NBA player if I was 6'10".
Man, I wish I was 6'8".
Yeah.
If I was 6'8", you wouldn't know me, Will. I love you like
probably
a brother,
not,
but you probably wouldn't know.
Probably
me.
Not.
I would be a bad person.
Probably
me and Harold had this insane discussion. If I was 6'8", and I was in the NBA, I wouldn't know anybody. You probably would, like, I'm part of a thing called This Day That's Over. I wouldn't know anybody there. I wouldn't know Fish. I would know if I had to go to Roosevelt. I guess I wouldn't find no Harold either.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'd be a bad person.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
At least you honest.
I'm honest, man. You know what I mean? I would give them multiple charities and whatnot, but I would film myself a lot. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'd give back to the neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't know a lot of people. I would you don't know me, get out of my face.
I'm like that now and I'm not famous.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like that. I'm not like that now. But if that was me, I'd be like, yeah, you don't know me. You know what I'm saying? I would sign breasts, female breasts.
I mean, but that could still happen if this thing pops off. You know, this whole
internet revolution. Yeah, that's the goal, man. That's the goal.
Yeah,
I want to sign breasts, but not like just the tissue. I want to get the nipple.
Oh, you want to get the areola?
Yeah, I want to get the areola. I want to get in. I want to get in the crescents of it. You know what I mean? I want to get in.
All right, man. Let's get this show back on course.
Let's get it back. All right. final topic on the pregame. Reports coming out that Miami Heat shooting guard Dwayne Wade is open to leaving South Beach.
Look, if I'm Dwayne Wade, I've continuously taken less money, have recruited for this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's my time to get paid. You paid Chris Bosh $118 million. Even though I know my body hasn't withstand the rigors and test of time,
mm-hmm,
but now, you know, now it's kind of, I'm coming up on those last few years.
Pay me what you owe me.
Pay me what you owe me. I've done a lot for you.
Yeah.
You talk about this is family, loyalty, and all this other stuff. I've been the most loyal guy for you during this stretch. Mm-hmm. You know, I brought two championships three championships to this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Pay me what you owe me. You know, I'm not saying it necessarily has to be max money, but it should be close to max money.
It should be good. Like you're talking about.
It should be close to max money, especially with the balloon in a salary cap that's coming up. So if I was him, I'd probably play out this. I might play out this last year because no one's going to give you six. No one else is going to give you $16 million. So you play this last year for $16 million, and then you wait until the salary cap goes up, and then you go from there.
If he was to leave Miami, where do you think he would go?
Obviously, everyone's going to say Chicago. I mean, not Chicago,
Chicago
but Cleveland. But yeah. I think he would go to Chicago.
That's the two people who talk about Cleveland, Chicago. Folks think he'll go back home and play for Chicago.
I think he would go back to Chicago.
I think I'm a minority in this. I think he can go to New York, play with Melo.
It could happen.
He's friends with Melo. I don't think he wants to do the whole LeBron thing again. I think LeBron wants shooters. I think LeBron's saying that having more spacing in his Cleveland team works for him. Another ISO player like Dwayne Wade with, you know, they're friends. I think LeBron sees like this could work better with J.R. Smith and Shumpert compared to having a Dwayne Wade being another guy who has a ball stopper. Or I have Kyrie. I don't need Dwayne.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I don't think Cleveland is the – Cleveland is what people are going to –
just because of the relationship.
Yeah, because of the relationship. But like you said, New York would be a good one. I think Chicago, depending on how the contract negotiations go with Jimmy Butler, you know. Dwayne Wade wants to be paid, but he doesn't. He's put his ego to the side before, so he could do it again. For the sake of winning. But you got to pay him. If you're Miami, pay him what you owe.
Yeah, take care of him. He's really sacrificed.
He's really become the face of your friend, like the greatest player of all time in your franchise. Exactly.
He's overcome my man, Alonzo Mourning.
So Alonzo Mourning, Glenn Rice, Ron. Ronnie Cycli, like,
yeah.
Tim Hardaway.
That's true.
So he's the all-time great Miami Heat.
Yeah.
You need to pay him. You need to take care of him, lock him up, and make sure that he's a Heat for life.
Yeah, he's a statue. He gets a statue.
Absolutely.
I posed the same question on our Facebook page. Where would Dwayne Wade go if he did decide to leave Miami? My man Wayne Thomas said Chicago or Cleveland. My boy Troy has a long two-page paragraph. So what contender is going to pay? I just think what Will was saying. What contender is going to pay him $16 million? He's better off staying with the Heat. I agree with that. He said, as a Knicks fan, Phil Jackson has built a contender from scratch and not signed players who best years are ahead behind them. Chicago will be throwing max dollars at Butler with only a mid-level exception space remaining. You know what's great about Jimmy Butler? I don't think Jimmy Butler is worth. Max,
I really don't think. I don't think Jimmy Butler is either. Jimmy Butler gives you a lot on the defensive side of the floor. Offensively, he's still a guy who's dependent upon
movement, screens. He's not like an ISO player. I think when you give, and this is my thing. I think when you're Max, Max is so stupid nowadays. But when you're a Max player, like you should be an ISO player. Like you should create your own shot by yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You should create a shot for you and others on your team.
He can create his own shot, kind of. Because he's improved. I don't want to downplay his game. He's improved. He's a better shooter now. But I don't look at him as a player that I can rely on to get the big buckets down the stretch as a two guard. Because a two guard is a different position. It's a different beast. So I don't look at him that way.
But then again, the flip side of that is, how many elite two, like I said before, how many elite two guards are there?
No, you're right.
James Harden. You could put Klay Thompson starting to ascend to that level. Dwayne Wade, when healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then possibly Jimmy Butler.
No, you're right. I'm not
arguing. You know, you could say Bradley Beal, but injuries and lack of consistency. Yeah. I mean, Jimmy, you know, but I'm saying when we talk about truly elite two guards, there's James Harden and there's no one else.
Yeah, it's true. But anyway, it's about time for another commercial break. When we get back from break, we'll be talking about the NBA Finals. LeBron James, Steph Curry, Riley Curry. It goes down. Man, Riley Curry's a cute little girl on TV right now. I'm sorry.
We'll talk about it when we get back from commercial break.
It's the Urban Sports Stage.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory.
weapons, no man, no weapon. Formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, the spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up. One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours.
Oh, glory.
I messed the song up, y'all. Yeah, see, y'all caught me. I was off key. They had the wrong part of the song. And we're back for commercial break. You can listen to us on our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Again, that's change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crit Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Though you will not hear me this Thursday. You probably didn't hear me last Thursday or Thursday before. But still, you definitely won't hear me this Thursday because it's the NBA Finals. And I am going to be at my favorite bar in the world, eating wings, talking to conjugating with folks, maybe trying to find a new something, and and having a good time. But the show is, that's the website of the
No, you did.
All right, let me do the website. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan.
All right, we're back from commercial break. Like Wally stated, the finals start Thursday. I don't know why they started on Thursday. I mean, I know it's starting because of programming reasons, but you know, to me, when you have like a whole week of like a empty program, non basketball, yeah. Oh, yeah. So
no,
you know,
no sports.
Yeah.
It's baseball.
Y'all can watch like baseball. I said, I watch the Nationals and I watch the Yankees.
Y'all, you can watch NBA TV, man. Charles Barkley and I'm going to entertain you for a while.
Nah. But, you know, I guess it does, you know, kind of build the anticipation it for it. You know, yeah. Like that off week during the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So I guess it kind of builds that anticipation
and
for
and
it.
Think about it. You know, if the finals was quick, right around the corner, Klay Thompson wouldn't play. We wouldn't get a healthy Kyrie Irving. We have a chance to see these two teams as healthy as they're going to be for this game.
That is true. That
this
is
series,
true.
Excuse me. Sorry.
But, anyway, it starts Thursday, Eastern Standard Time. We get the kickoff. We get the best possible matchup. Cleveland Cavaliers, Golden State Warriors. As you know, for those of you who were listening during the first segment, this Warriors team, you're seeing one of the truly historically great teams of NBA basketball. This team won 67 games. I think they only lost three games, including the playoffs.
Three games, man.
During the whole season, including the playoffs at home. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see Stephen Curry, you know, first MVP. Will he close that out with his first championship? Then you also have Klay Thompson, who's getting over the concussion and is one of the better.
He's cleared now.
Mm-hmm. No, that whole Golden State team, they're deep against LeBron James, you know, who's arguably putting up one of his best performances. During the playoffs, I mean, just the way he's leading his team and kind of put him on his shoulders.
Yeah, that's your point.
But the thing about me that kind of gets annoying with LeBron is always A, him throwing his coach under the bus,
mm-hmm.
and B, him always pointing out that I'm the leader.
Yeah,
I'm the leader. They're following me.
It's getting real annoying,
right? It's really getting on my effing nerves.
And you know I'm a LeBron fan.
Yeah, I love LeBron.
I love LeBron, but it's really annoying.
It's really getting on my effing nerves.
He's getting extra arrogant, like really arrogant.
Yeah, I'm a leader. Well, I have to see the tape. Like, you're the coach. We all know that, you know, you think you're the pseudo coach. Mm-hmm. But the reality is David Blatt's made some adjustments. It's kind of gotten his team back on course to the point where we all thought that they would be. And that's in the NBA championship. So it's going to be interesting to see the chess match between David Blatt and Steve Kerr. And also, what I'm looking forward to most is how Golden State defends LeBron. Mm-hmm. We all know that a couple years ago with Popovich, he didn't, especially off of the pick and roll, he didn't fall, he didn't come over the top. He told his players to come underneath and give LeBron a jump shot. Now, LeBron's jump shot has improved over the years.
Yeah.
But he's also shooting at one of his worst percentages that we've seen him shoot in a long time during these playoffs, like 41%. So it's
been horrible for him.
Yeah, so do the Golden State Warriors pack the lane and make someone else beat them, i.e. maybe Kyrie Irving, i.e. J.R. Smith, and play LeBron for the jump shot? So that it's going to be interesting, the chess match, and I can't wait Thursday, you know. I'm not going to say where I'm going to be at to watch the game, but I'll be watching somewhere local.
Yeah, you got to say it. Just know you're going to have a good time.
Yeah,
you're fried and have a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Fried and have a good time. That's what I'm going to do. You're fried, have a good time, eat some wings, flirt a little bit, talk trash, you know. And, but it's crazy. But this game, this finals is going to be different. Because usually, you know, when we go to this establishment, because LeBron's been in the finals, so it's been a LeBron show. I usually talk trash to fans about LeBron James because LeBron is my favorite player in the league and this, that, and the other. But now, you know, Steph Curry's a guy that I respect more. Truth be told, I got him like 1A, 1B because I love the way he plays basketball. And it's going to be hard. Actually, I'm going to actually watch this game as in neutral. Like, I just want to enjoy good basketball.
Yeah,
I'm not going to really be rooting heavily against – well, that's how I feel now. Maybe like the crowd will sway me in which way, because that's what happens. The crowd will sway me. So if everybody's, you know, rooting for, which they will be, everybody probably will be rooting for Golden State. I'll root for LeBron because I like to be in enemy territory. I really do.
All right. Well, let me ask you this: who has the advantage coming into the series with the long, you know, specifically with the week off, and also from a strategic standpoint, roster standpoint?
I just, looking at Golden State, I just think they have the advantage. They're just deeper. You can use being deep. Now, granted, Klay Thompson just coming off the concussion situation, but that shouldn't be a big deal. Again, he's been cleared. You're going to throw bodies at LeBron James, all right? That's one thing that's going to happen. You're going to throw bodies at him. You're going to throw Draymond Green at him. You're going to throw Harrison Barnes at him. You're going to throw Andre Iguodala at him. You're going to throw, Klay Thompson. There's so many players you're going to throw at LeBron. And it goes on hindsight, you're going to do the same thing with Steph Curry. You're going to throw, obviously going to throw LeBron on a couple, you know, throw LeBron on probably in the fourth quarter a little bit. You're going to throw Shumpert, and J.R. Smith's going to check him. Kyrie Irving's going to check him. You're going to have Dellavedova check him. So you're going to have players that you're going to put a lot of bodies, give him a different look. These players a different look. But at the end of the day, I just think that Golden State has the advantage because they're going to come at him in waves, you know. When they bring in that second unit could be a starting lineup for many other teams. You know,
I agree with you. I do think Golden State has the advantage coming into this series, just from the standpoint that they're a lot more healthier. Two, they have more bodies, like you said, to throw at LeBron James. And three, this team can cause major matchup problems for the Cleveland Cavaliers from the perspective of if they decide to go small.
Yeah.
They can really space the floor out.
Exactly.
And also put players and take a guy like Timothy Mozgov out of the game, because if you go small with like a David Lee or a Draymond Green, those two guys could really pull Mozgov away from the basket. And we know that the way that Golden State likes to run cuts, flex cuts and things of that nature, they create passing lanes and get into the lane and get easy baskets, get to the rim easier.
And again, our phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904.
Ain't nobody calling.
That's 202-495-0904. Don't be negative, man.
I'm not being negative.
You are the Urban Sports Team.
I'm not being negative.
You are being negative.
I'm not.
You are, man.
Okay, man. Let's just keep on.
You trying to say too scared to call?
I'm not saying no one's too scared to call.
What you trying to say?
I'm just saying no one's calling.
They're going to call. My phone is like on the low vibrating right now.
Okay, well.
I got tweets and stuff. I want to read them.
That's what's up, man. I'm glad that you're getting tweets, but we're not talking about tweets. We're talking about calls.
We're going to get them calls, man.
We're going to get calls.
I'm going to need that positive attitude.
I'm going to bring the positive energy.
Sprucing that thing up, Will T.
Okay, I hear you.
Damn, I think I just messed up.
Sprucing?
No.
Sprucing that thing up?
No, that sounds bad, too.
It does.
That sounds bad. I said your alias. That's why.
I'm not worried about it, man.
That's terrible, man.
Dang. So which team has a better chance?
I'd be a snitch on the streets, man.
Terrible. You would be.
Go ahead, man.
That's the thing Nigerians do. Especially for cash.
They put my government. Now they don't say that. You put my government out there.
Especially for cash. Yeah, I didn't put your name out there.
I'm Nigerian.
You are.
That's true.
You've already stated that.
I stated that
many
today.
Times. No, I mean, not today, but yeah, exactly. You stated it many times.
Today's a new world order.
All right. Well, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. You have LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who's considered the best player in the game.
Then hands down, man down.
Steph Curry, the guy who's ascending. A lot of people are starting to jump on the bandwagon. The best ball handler, best shooter in the game.
Best shooter,
MVP. Which team do you think has a better chance at containing the star opposing team?
Like I said, you know, when we were just talking before about why, you know, who has the advantage. Same thing goes in this situation. I referred to it anyway about what Golden State's going to throw at LeBron to try to contain LeBron. You cannot stop LeBron, but you can try to contain him. You're throwing defensive players that are at a high level. Draymond Green is a really good defender, a guy who can guard all five positions, supposedly. I'm not a big Draymond Green fan, but supposedly he can guard all five positions. You have Klay Thompson, one of the better two-guard defenders in this league, swingman defenders in this league. You have Andre Iguodala. We know he's been a good defender historically in this league. So you have bodies that you have, not just bodies to go against a LeBron James, but you have bodies who are good defenders to go against LeBron James. And honestly, Harrison Barnes. When you look at Harrison Barnes' build, you look at a guy like, okay, he's strong enough to compete with LeBron James defensively. You know, it's a guy that they play at the four position. He's about 6'8". Harrison Barnes is like 6'8". It's a solid 6'8". So they have decent defenders that kind of can try to slow down LeBron James. But again, I'm going to say this. LeBron James is the best player in the world. So if LeBron James is special, there's nothing they can do about it. Because again, he's not an individual that has to score 30 to dominate a basketball game.
That's true. But all right, we said, and I do think Golden State has a great chance to kind of slow LeBron. I'm not going to say slow, but frustrate. But I also think that Cleveland has a guy that could get into the head of Steph Curry, and that's Bellavedova. He's a guy who will get inside, who will play up on you 92 feet and won't back down, and will make those hard, aggressive, some people call them dirty,
not
plays.
Dirty.
Not necessarily dirty.
I hate that thing.
It's not necessarily dirty, okay. But I do think he has that mentality, that ruggedness, where he'll take pride in potentially getting into, and not being dirty or getting into Steph Curry's head by frustrating him. And he could potentially cause Steph Curry to lash out.
Yeah.
Because he's so frustrated. So
Bellavedova.
He's a guy that defensively.
They call him
Deli. Deli, yeah. Deli, he's a guy that defensively can frustrate Stephen Curry, but because that team's so deep,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Stephen Curry plays a big role in their success, but they don't need him to score 30 points per game for them to win. Just like Cleveland, if it increases their chances and gives them probably an 85% chance if LeBron goes out and averages 30. Although we know he can dominate the game in other ways by rebounding and setting other guys up. But they don't have the scores to consistently, in my opinion, mm-hmm. they don't have the other guys outside of Kyrie that consistently can take over the series.
Yeah, see, I think Deli can. She said, what makes Stephen Curry so hard to guard is that he's not an ISO player. So if Dellavedova is getting issues with him as the ball handler, right? He'll just run him off screens, and he's so good without the basketball. He's a very hard cover. You know, LeBron James needs the ball in his hand. That's the difference. Actually, that's the real difference between him and LeBron. Like, LeBron needs the ball in his hand. They can come out and put Livingston run the one off the bench and have Curry out there, and then Curry's running off 50 screens. And he's going to get that open shot. You know what I mean? And even if LeBron wanted to check a Steph Curry, which is LeBron is the best defender on the team, you know, when he's not tired, that's a guy who's going to run him ragged in that fourth quarter because, okay, he can say, okay, LeBron, I'm not going to ISO on you, but I'll run you through screens, though, and you will work. You know what I mean? So it's a hard cover. He's a hard cover. It's like Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller was a hard cover.
Let me ask you this question. You have for both teams, you have a guy coming off an injury, and these guys are major parts of their team.
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Which guy do you think will have the bigger impact if healthy?
Kyrie? Kyrie Irving will have the biggest impact. I've watched Klay Thompson. I think as a basketball player, I think as a shooter, he's awesome. As a basketball player, he has a lot to be desired.
Well, I'm going to go the opposite of you. I'm going to go with Klay Thompson because if healthy, Klay Thompson can lock down Kyrie Irving. He can lock down Kyrie Irving.
Thanks, Klay.
He can create his shot for himself and others off of the dribble.
Shumpert's checking him, right?
No, I'm saying, well, Klay Thompson's probably going to check Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. Initially, he's still LeBron. Yeah. So who would Steph check?
Shumpert.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. That's actually a good one.
Yeah, so Klay Thompson, if healthy, 100%, can potentially, I'm not going to say lock down Kyrie Irving, but frustrate him.
Yeah, that's better.
Can create a shot for himself and others for his Golden State teammates and can knock down the three.
Yeah.
So I think where opposed to Kyrie is a guy who's just going to, he's not the greatest defender. He's gotten better as a help defender and a team defender, but one-on-one defender isn't the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie can create a shot for himself and others. And, you know, he brings a dimension, you know, being able to catch and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that Klay Thompson, his all-around game will have more of an impact than Kyrie Irving's.
I mean, I see your point. I just think Kyrie Irving, if he's healthy, there's nobody. He's the third best player on the court. When healthy,
that's fair.
If he's healthy, he's the third best player on the court, and he's gonna, and you'll see if he's playing that well. Because there'll be opportunities where you're probably gonna see because they probably don't want to post Steph with, you know, if they don't want Steph to be posted by, they don't want Shumpert to post up Steph Curry, then they'll have Steph on Kyrie. So I mean, Kyrie's gonna make Steph and Curry work. So it just depends, man. I really look at it like if Kyrie's healthy. That's a bad sign for the Golden State Warriors. I'm not saying they still couldn't beat Cleveland, but I'm just saying that makes it a lot tougher. Because Kyrie Irving is just like Steph Curry, he makes difficult jump shots just the same way, and he's a layup king too, a layup king like T.I. from Atlanta. Okay. He's a king. So anyway, but I would like to, you know, depending on what happens in that, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. Like that matchup is going to be interesting between those two because we're looking at the two Robins, right?
Yeah.
The two Robins. Yeah. It's going to be interesting. That's going to be real interesting.
All right. LeBron, how much is on him to win a championship?
It's a lot, man.
I'm not going to say it's
a lot. It's a lot. Well, no. It's not. No.
Let me start it off.
Go ahead.
The singular greatest thing LeBron could do is win one championship for Cleveland.
That's true. Right? That's true.
So for me, from the perspective of he's taken this team through the playoffs, put them on his back, and has gotten them to the championship,
yeah,
I think is a accomplishment in itself.
Totally agree.
Couple that with the injury to the ineffective play and injury of Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving coming off of his injuries, you have a so you look, put that in the perspective of the second best player offensively for him is J.R. Smith, who we all know has been a head case and wildly inconsistent. Then Amon Shumpert, then Timothy Mozgov, then you have Tristan Thompson, who's stepped his game up and starting to, you know, take it to another level from a consistency standpoint. I think that even though he would be, 2-4 in NBA Finals if they were to lose this one, I still think you couldn't put it all on LeBron if they do lose. Now, he can come out here and totally be a dud, average, just, you know, not have the type of game that everyone would expect of LeBron James.
Yeah.
Then, you know, he'll get ridiculed. But I think to this point, just him getting this team with the injuries they have to the championship, I think is a huge accomplishment in itself. And I always thought that the first year of the teams that he joined isn't going to be that best team.
You talking about LeBron?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, he kind of gets a pass. I think what he's done already, even though, you know, from a number standpoint, as far as his efficiency hasn't been great, but I think it's not all on him if he doesn't win it, if they don't win a championship.
I don't think it's on him. I know haters when I see one. I mean, you see them, excuse me, and they're just waiting. You know what I mean? I'm not knocking LeBron. I think LeBron, let's be real, like this team, LeBron should be commended for what he got this team to. You referred to it earlier, but they lost Kevin Love in the playoffs. Kyrie Irving's not 100%. They thought Chicago Bulls, everybody thought the Chicago Bulls was going to beat them because they were weak, and they beat them in six, right? It was in six.
Yeah.
They beat them in six. So they took out the Bulls with a depleted team, with people like Dellavedova stepping up. J.R. Smith is a scorer, but you got Tristan Thompson, who now has made himself into a max dollar type of player. But you didn't say that before the season started. What you said before the season started was, oh, LeBron, here he goes. He's going with a big three. He can't win by himself. Playoffs come around. This team has a gimped Kyrie Irving. Kevin Love gets his shoulder separated. And it's LeBron again, pretty much doing what he did in Cleveland his first go around, having to take the world on his shoulders and do his thing. He did it. He got his team to the champ. He's got his team to the finals. All right. He beat, I don't care what anybody says, the Atlanta Hawks, though they didn't look good and whatever, they won 60 games. All right. The Chicago Bulls, again, to everybody else, to a lot of people, was the team to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. They didn't do it. Now he's playing against Steph Curry and company, a team that you said historically is probably one of the best teams to ever play in this league. Historically, teams, 67 games. If LeBron beats this team, he deserves so much credit. I think a lot of times we comparing players to this, that, and the other. But a lot of the guys that we looked up to are the guys that before LeBron James, they were the actual favorites. Their teams were better. LeBron is on a team that isn't better than Golden State, isn't deeper than Golden State. It's the same thing we saw last year with the San Antonio Spurs. Everybody knew the San Antonio Spurs was better than the Miami Heat from top to bottom. All Miami Heat had in terms of who was playing well was LeBron James. So this is the same situation, kind of scenario. The better team, the more talent is on Golden State.
All right, well,
there's no pressure. There should be. To me, there shouldn't be any pressure on LeBron, but there is pressure on LeBron because he's LeBron's guy, because he's LeBron James.
Well, let me ask you that. Well, you said that Golden State is a superior team. We all know that it's a very young team. The two, I guess, lead dogs for Golden State are under 25. Am I correct? Steph Curry, yeah. Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Do you think this could be a team that begins a dynasty?
If they win this, the finals, and when they win the championship, they should be a dynasty. I mean, people talk about, you talk about Klay Thompson. Obviously, to me, Steph Curry is the alpha dog. That's the guy. He's the alpha dog. But you got a guy, Harrison Barnes, who I think is just as talented as Klay Thompson. Harrison Barnes. You got Draymond Green, still young. Klay Thompson, you mentioned. Andrew Bogut anchors the middle. He knows his role. He anchors the middle. On the bench, you got David Lee on your bench. Spates, Iguodala, Livingston. These are guys who Barbosa. The center, Azili. I mean, they have talent on this team and young talent. They're not just good. They're young talent. Now, Andrew Bogut's a vet. Iguodala's a vet. But Barbosa is a vet. But still, at the end of the day, you have talent in terms of your core group of guys, your nucleus. It's there. It's still there.
I'm going to agree with you for not only because, A, they have talent, but, B, because the salary cap inflates so much, yeah, I think, a year after next. And also, you have to look at it. David Lee is on the – comes off of the books. He's their highest paid player, making like 20-something million. And I think he comes off the books, if it's not this summer, next summer. Mm-hmm. So you'll have plenty of cap room. You already have Iguodala still locked up for, I think, like 2 years. You're going to have to pay Harrison Barnes. But the reality is, even though he has the talent, his production isn't going to warrant anything near max money. You're going to have to pay Draymond Green. So, and you couple that with this team, this front office knows how to go out and get players and find young talent.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think, I'm not going to say they're going to be a dominating dynasty. I do think this could be a team that can reel off back-to-back championships, though.
I think this team could be special, man. I really do. I think this team can really be special.
I mean, it'll be interesting because, you know, if OKC comes back healthy next year with
that's a big thing
with a healthy Durant, that's true. With a healthy Westbrook, and then you sign Enes Kanter, and Enes Kanter is able to play the way he played towards the end of last season.
That's if they sign Enes Kanter. They have to sign Enes Kanter.
Yeah, I mean, I think they probably are going
to
sign.
Yeah, they got to.
But that'll be interesting. And then also with the Clippers, you know, you never know what the Clippers are going to do.
You got me with OKC. They're stacked. Because when I look at teams, I'm looking at a team that's stacked from top to bottom to the bench. And if you're OKC, you get Durant back. You got Westbrook. You just mentioned Kanter. And even the young guys we talked about, Perry Jones III and Lamb, those are talented guys off the bench. Like, they're young, but they're still talented off the bench. They got talent off the bench. So, and they got DJ Augustine. Yeah, they're talented. Well, he'll still be under contract, right?
Yeah, he's still under contract. Yeah, they got
talent. I'm with you on that one. OKC will be their biggest challenge. I could definitely see a battle with that one.
Yeah, and that would be a great series.
That would be epic. That would be something special. That would be something that you want to see for years to come. Like, if they can keep these two teams can keep their nucleuses intact, obviously KD not coming to DC, if that could happen, it would be something special.
Absolutely. All right, now it's time to get into some predictions for game one. Who you got winning and why?
All right, so I got game one. I'm going to go with Golden State. Why? Because it's the same thing. I predict Golden State's going to win the series, so I have Golden State because they're just, to me, they're the better team.
All right, well, let me cut you off right there. You said – you predict they win the series. What do they win? What do they win the series? In six?
In six. I want to say seven, but I just want to know what. Let's say seven. I'm going seven.
You going to say seven?
In seven. I won the series in seven.
Okay. I think Golden State wins the first game for the simple fact that it's at home, mm-hmm. and they've only lost three games throughout the whole season, including the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I think that I don't know how J.R. Smith is a huge variable for me.
Yeah,
because he's been so essential to this run for them. I don't know how he's going to handle the NBA finals and also being out in Oakland and being out for Oakland for like 3 days. Because we all know J.R. Smith is going to party.
Stay that. Or that's what you had like right there. That's yeah, what you at. Oakland, being in Oakland. But he's in Chicago, right? So it could still work out.
What?
He was in Chicago.
Who, J.R. Smith?
Yeah, Chicago's a nice little town.
It's not Oakland. It's not California.
Yeah, ain't ninja, right?
It's not California.
Short. It ain't too short.
It's not California. So, when he has his head together, J.R. Smith is
he a dog, man.
He's a dog. He has the talent, but does he have his head together? And how will J.R. Smith handle being out in California for 3+ days?
Well, this is what I'll say about J.R. Smith. The moment will not overwhelm him. That I do know. Now, the lifestyle is a whole different beast, but the moment won't overwhelm him. And on the court, he'll be fine. Off the court, it's a whole different beast, though. Just keep too short away from him.
Just keep him focused. And also, another thing, like, and I alluded to it, what happens when Steve Kerr goes small and you have to take Timothy Mozgov out of the game.
Yeah, that's the situation too.
You know, you don't have a five.
But James Jones.
You could,
they're like, I mean, they've been used to doing. They're doing. That's what they've been doing. They've been going small.
They can go small, but you know, you lose out on rebounding.
Yeah, I'm saying they're willing to do it with LeBron. Yeah, they're willing to do it. They've done it. They've done it against Chicago.
They're willing to counter, but you know, to me, they just lose mm-hmm. rebounding and defense.
Well, that's the greatest LeBron James. Goes small. That's the greatest of LeBron James.
Yeah,
that's the greatest LeBron James. You got a guy who can do that for you, who's tough enough to rebound against bigs anyway. So this series is going to be on LeBron James, like it or not. You know, so
let me give you my prediction for the series. Sure. I think that Golden State wins in five.
In five?
In five.
Oh, I like it. And why is that?
I think matchups, for one. Two, the ability to throw multiple players at LeBron James and kind of give him different looks, whether it be a guy who can be as physical with him in Draymond Green, a guy who's as fast and has some physicality such as he does like Andre Iguodala, and a guy who's just a great, not great, but a good defensive player in Klay Thompson. They'll all give him different looks. And it'll be a situation where what are his teammates going to do? Are they going to sit in the corner and just hope LeBron finds you? Or are you going to come to the ball? And I think that the majority of his teammates are going to hope that LeBron, they're going to watch the ball. Yeah, they're going to LeBron watch. So.
I agree. But anyway, it's about time to go hard in the paint, man. I'm about to cue this music real quick, man. Alright, I'm going to go first. The person I'm picking who's going to go hard in the paint in the finals, and this is a segment that we choose a player who's going to like show out. Not an obvious player, but a player we think is going to show out. I'm going to go with Harrison Barnes. I think he's very important to what the, if this team wants to win a championship. He has to play to his capability. He has knocked out open shots. People will roam off of him. And he's a good three-point shooter, about 35-plus three-point shooter anyway. So I predict that Harrison Barnes is going to have an electric series. He's going to step up.
I'm going to go with a guy off of Golden State's bench, Sean Livingston. I think that he has the size and has the intangibles to really spark that second unit against Cleveland's second unit, even though we know that'll be when Dele will be on the floor. But I do think that Sean Livingston, his physical attributes is going to be too much for anyone in Cleveland's second unit or any of their starting guards to handle for small spurts.
All right, well, it's about time for another commercial break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the King. We're going to talk about LeBron James again. Actually, LeBron's been in the news. Shaq has come out and said that he would take Kobe Bryant over LeBron James. Bill Laimbeer said he would take LeBron James over Michael Jordan. Everybody's going crazy about LeBron. It's the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Morning, it's me, Magic Johnson here. I won 5 NBA championships and Olympic gold medal. So I'm calling the shots today. Get up out of bed, into school, try hard, do well. School got me to where I am today. So be there every single day. And of course, give it your best shot. Morning, it's me, Magic Johnson here. I won 5 NBA championships and Olympic gold medal. So I'm calling the shots today. Get up out of bed, into school, try hard, do well. School got me to where I am today. So be there every single day. And of course, give it your best shot.
Y'all trying to make a next month soon up there. Fucking shredder, she wrote.
How much money is that?
Yellow beat, holla at me.
And chewy on some hot. Like I told Tish, I see when I like you seen him twirl, then he drops. And we keep them to my block. And Monte keep it on him, he done drop. And we be wildin', he some hot. Tones known to get busy with them. Try to run down and you could catch it. Running through these checks till
I pass out. Out. Messing up again. Cash out. Yeah, we're back from commercial break. Y'all heard me mess up the song up. It's okay though. I don't really care though. I'm having a good day. I'm here with my homie Will T, man, so it's all a blessing, man.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all heard like Matt Johnson's commercial like twice. I had it on repeat, so I didn't care. Matt Johnson's my role model. If you have a problem, listen to him and screw y'all and have a good day. That's my dude. 100 grand. That's my goat. Y'all like Jordan. We're going to talk about him like right now, but that's not my goal. I don't like Jordan. I think he's overrated, highly overrated. That's just my opinion. You listen to me, you call in numbers 202-495-0904. You can curse
me out.
I told
you ain't nobody
it's okay.
Calling, man.
202-495-0904. If you call and I don't like the number, I won't pick up. I won't lie to you. I'm that kind of person. I'm very rude. Very, very rude when it comes to this discussion on Michael Jordan. Anyway, Bill Laimbeer, who went against Jordan a number of times, and beat Jordan a number of times too, until the last hurrah, when the Bad Boys decided to walk off on the Pistons. Anyway, Bill Laimbeer said that he'd take LeBron James over Michael Jordan.
Bill Laimbeer is entitled to his opinion. I think some bias because we all know the Detroit those Bad Boy Piston teams hated Michael Jordan, but
so did Wally. Sorry, continue.
Okay, but you know, he's entitled to his opinion. I don't necessarily agree. I think LeBron, even though he has superior physical ability from a skill standpoint, Michael Jordan was just Michael Jordan. He's better to me, a better skilled player from essentially being able to
skill player.
Yeah, I mean, just offensively,
right?
And defensively.
LeBron's a great defensive player too.
LeBron's a great defensive player, but Michael Jordan is a shut down.
Are we gonna really have this debate right now?
Yeah, Michael Jordan was a shut down defensive player.
LeBron's he shut down Derrick Rose. You know how hard to shut down Derrick Rose? I don't think Jordan shut down Derrick Rose, to be honest with you. LeBron shut him down now.
In his prime, you don't think Jordan would have shut down Derrick Rose?
Not the way Derrick Rose. Nah, I don't think so. Honestly, okay,
I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. Michael Jordan was 6'6". LeBron was 6'8". Yeah. LeBron's physically is more stout,
yeah.
But Michael Jordan just from a basketball IQ, being able to
I don't think LeBron gets credit about how smart that dude is.
I'm not saying he's not, but I do think Michael Jordan is a better has a better basketball IQ. He knows what you're trying to do, what you're trying to give him, what you're not trying to give him, and he'll still get the shot that he wanted off. LeBron, you can't say that because if San Antonio has shown, when you pack the lane and when they wanted him to take a jump shot, he took a jump shot. Just my opinion. It is what it is. You have the floor.
All right, I want to give you the floor. Are you sure you're good? I want to see you all the time. Okay, good, good. LeBron James is a different. LeBron James to me is just as smart as Michael Jordan, if not even more. LeBron James is not as smart as a scorer. No, he's not as smart as Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's a scorer. That's what he is. He's a scorer. Can he pass? He can pass a little bit. LeBron James, again, if he gets in a situation where they do pack the lane, he'll kick it out. He'll kick it out to whoever. Now, the problem is people are knocking down shots. LeBron has more of a, I always said, a magic style of basketball. What it is that LeBron was willing to always pass the ball off to a guy who's wide open. That's why people like James Jones can look good. Someone like Dellavedova can look good consistently, not just put a knockdown occasional threes. He'll put them in positions to look like they are players of the game. And we're talking about a guy who can pretty much dominate the game if he wanted to, scoring wise. But he's not that type of player. I think the problem is when people compare Michael Jordan, LeBron James, they're looking at the 30 points, the 35, the monstrous 3-point games or game winning baskets, whatever you want to call it. But again, LeBron James is a guy, call it what you want to, not being a dog or whatever, is that if he makes the right basketball play all the time, it doesn't matter what situation, 9 times out of 10, he makes the correct basketball play. Michael Jordan is more of an assassin scorer. Yes, he's more intelligent than LeBron James when it comes to scoring. But we're looking at the all-around basketball IQ. I'll take LeBron's basketball IQ over anybody but Magic Johnson, because I just feel like LeBron James makes the correct play 9 times out of 10. Michael Jordan made the phenomenal play. I think we all get that, take that for granted. He made the plays because he was gifted athletically on certain plays. But LeBron James, though is gifted athletically, makes the right play almost all the time. Now, granted, people will call out when I use a game when he was in Cleveland when he was younger, when he played against the Pistons. He had the lane for a dunk and kicked it out to, I believe it was Donyell Marshall for an open corner three. A lot of people say he should have the layup, but Donyell Marshall is a 40% free throw, a 3-point shooter from the corner, the easiest three in the league, and he missed it. But you look at a 40% 3-point shooter from the corner, which is the easiest 3-point shot, a guy who's knocked that shot down consistently throughout that season, he missed it, but that was the right player. So that's the kind of player LeBron James is.
Like I said, give me Jordan. Jordan's a killer. Jordan will lock you down defensively, and Jordan will you to a win.
Give me LeBron, who will lock you down defensively from 1 through 5, who can check all 5 positions, gets everybody involved, and he will win. And he can do it with no Robin easily. He can do it with no Robin. He's shown us that he can get to the championship with no Robin. He's shown us that.
Okay.
That's the blessing, LeBron.
Yeah.
But I understand, Bill Laimbeer, I do think, is a little biased. I won't lie.
Yeah, no. I mean, for me, not a little biased, totally biased.
It's biased. I'm biased too, because I don't like Jordan. I'm biased. I have a biased argument. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I know that.
But I'm not a Jordan fan, though. I'm not biased because I hate Michael Jordan, because I don't like Michael Jordan, but I think Michael Jordan's better than Kobe Bryant.
Okay, speaking of Kobe, Shaq said that he would take Kobe Bryant over LeBron because he was more of a killer. Do you agree?
I wouldn't take Kobe Brown over LeBron either. Like, Shaq says everything. Like, Shaq said that he, you know, Shaq didn't like Penny Hardaway. Penny Hardaway was a nice guy. And he was a great basketball player. Shaq does everything. He's very extra. Let me put it this way. Let's go through the career of LeBron James and Kobe Brown, because I think that's more comparable, right, than Michael Jordan. That's fair to say?
Yeah.
LeBron James had a Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's go to Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's go when they both had nobody on their team. LeBron James to the Cleveland Cavaliers consistently to having the best record in the league, or even he took them to a championship. He took them to the finals, though they got swept by the Spurs, whatever. But he's taking a team with nothing to the postseason and even had them look like a championship contender. We can both agree to that?
True.
All right, so when Kobe Bryant, and on his top side, even though it is the Western Conference, I know people want to use that argument, it is the Western Conference, but when he didn't have, say,
Andrew Bynum, Paul Gasol, Lamar Odom,
the team was barely fighting for the eighth seed. They were AC, barely fighting.
Listen, you won't hear any arguments from me. I'm a firm believer that LeBron has always put his teams on his back and carried them, opposed to Kobe. Whereas Kobe wanted to have that leadership role, thought that he would have that leadership role, and he went out and he did what he needed to do, but he didn't, I guess, give the guys around him confidence. Yeah. And a great leader gives those around them confidence and makes them believe that they can do anything possible.
So they were.
I will say this, when it comes to, as far as creating their own shot, Kobe is far superior than LeBron.
Totally agree.
Far superior. But like you said, Kobe has a high basketball IQ, but Kobe just believes that he can get it done better than anyone else on the floor.
Yeah.
But Kobe does have that killer instinct.
Better come LeBron.
And if LeBron had like that killer instinct that, you know, some people say he lacks, like a Jordan or Kobe Bryant has, maybe, you know.
But you had, you see, I'm sorry, we'll continue.
No, go ahead.
I cut you off. No, sorry.
Cut me off. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Did you see the stat that LeBron has gained winners just as much as it?
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. I guess what people are trying to say is Kobe and Michael are a-holes more than LeBron is.
Mm-hmm.
And people in our culture, we think that a-holes tend to be, you have to be an a-hole to be successful when you don't. You can smile and be successful. Magic Johnson did it. Isaiah Thomas, he has feistiness in him, but he smiled and was successful.
It's a funny smile. It's a different smile. I like Isaiah. It's a different smile.
Yeah. When it comes to that argument, I'm definitely taking LeBron over Kobe.
Yeah, I don't get why Shaq said that, though. I'm still trying to figure that out. Because if LeBron ever played, if he played with Shaq.
He did play with Shaq.
Oh, no, in his prime.
Oh.
I'm talking about his prime, not the Shaq, but in the Cleveland. I know what you're talking about. I'm talking about that's not Shaq. That was Shaquille. If LeBron played with Shaq, and like in his prime, it wouldn't even be fair. Because one, Shaq would get all touches. The chemistry would be true, because he wouldn't be worried about touches and shooting 30, you know, getting 30 points a game. Shaq would get easy buckets. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like Kobe Bryant used to have passed the ball to Shaq when he knew he couldn't score. So it was like, okay, take the ball, big fella. Go ahead. You know what I mean? Or within the triangle. But LeBron, you wouldn't even have to worry about, you're getting the ball. You're getting lobs and dunks. Look how Moscow. Because you got to think Shaq, when he was younger, he ran the floor a lot better too. You know what I mean? So I never really got, I didn't get that. When I read that Shaq said that, I was like, it doesn't make any sense. But I guess, you know, sometimes you want to, when you're in the media, things change or whatever. I don't know.
Maybe it's because the time he spent with Kobe, he has a greater appreciation for what him and Kobe accomplished as far as championships. He didn't get one with LeBron.
Yeah. You
so that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
And not change the past either, too, as well. I didn't get that either. Anyway, that's what Kevin Love. Kevin Love said he expects to be back in Cleveland. Do you believe him? Because I don't. So I'll let you go first.
I think he, in his mind, he expects to be back because probably, you know, before he was traded, they probably had some discussion. Hey, you have this 1 year player option at $16 million. What do you plan on doing? Mm-hmm. Oh, I plan on honoring it. So in his mind, he says that, but I don't think in his heart he wants to be on the same team as LeBron James. He still thinks that he's a lead dog. He averaged what? when he was in Minnesota, 26-12.
Yeah.
So he still thinks that he can lead a team, even though it's kind of been, I'm not going to say it has been proven, but to this point in his career, he hasn't led a team to anything, not even 500, not even a playoff berth. You could tell there's some frustration. I'm not going to say it. It just seems like the dynamic between LeBron and Kevin Love is kind of weird, because it seems as
like
it,
LeBron and like Kevin Love and a lot of his teammates is weird.
To me, it seems like a passive aggressive thing with him. I wonder why he hasn't been on the bench for any of their games after he's had the injury with his shoulder.
He's back now though, right?
I don't know. Is he on the bench?
Yeah, he just got to the bench. You're right, though. For a while, he wasn't, though.
Yeah, he wasn't
on
the bench.
But he just recently started traveling with the team.
And I know he has. They had some issues as far as his shoulder, as far as possibly not being able to travel. But to me, it just seems really weird. It seems like there's a weird dynamic between him and LeBron. Then also, you have to couple this. Tristan Thompson has kind of stepped his game up. If this team... You know, we've proven that we don't necessarily need that stretch four. We've kind of reinvented the way we've played with another guy who can play on the block like Christian Thompson, who, for all intents and purposes, does just about everything that Kevin Love does except for shoot threes.
He's a better defender.
He's a better defender, just as good as a rebounder. When he gets the minutes and gets the opportunity, do you want to pay Kevin Love $16 million, even though I guess it's Kevin Love's option of does he want to get paid $16 million in Cleveland, or does he want to wait it out and potentially test the market next year? So it's interesting, but I do expect him back in Cleveland, but I don't think his heart wants to be in Cleveland. His mind's telling him stay in Cleveland because he wants that $16 million.
Yeah.
But his heart is either in Boston or LA.
I see him in... I see Kevin Love going elsewhere. Either it's going to be L.A., Boston. I think it's probably staying in the West Coast, though. Probably L.A. Because I don't see it. Like, you can say what you want, but your actions speak louder than words. Like, your actions, you know what I mean? Or even, you know, like, even the stuff he did with Russell Westbrook saying he's more of an MVP. He should get the MVP over LeBron James and stuff like that. It's like you've pretty much showed where your loyalty lies.
Yeah.
And, you know, even when you're complaining.
I mean, but then again, you know, he is entitled to his honest opinion.
No, he is. But you could tell where your loyalty lies in terms of, like, even, you know, him having, you know, pouting about his role when his team was winning. It wasn't you're winning. You know what I mean? Like you can pout when you're losing. You know what I mean? But you're pouting when you're winning. That's a problem to me. So that showed me you're not about winning. You're just about you're about getting your numbers right. But again, if he leaves, though, to be honest with you, if he does leave and decides to leave Cleveland, it's gonna be an image hit, because people gonna look at him and say, okay, well, you're not about winning. Like, this Cleveland team was about set to do something. You're about just getting your numbers up. You don't care about winning.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And, you know, some people could say I'm wrong for it, but I'm gonna throw it out there anyway. We all know what Kevin Love is. He's white.
Yeah.
If this were a black athlete who came from a losing environment, went to a winning environment.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Acted the way he would, a young black athlete, he would be persecuted.
You're so right. It's the truth.
Reality. Some people could say I'm playing a race card, but I'm just telling you.
No, you're right.
From my perspective, what I see when I read media, when I read ESPN, like, yeah. When I read the articles on ESPN and things of that nature and other sports publications, a guy would be getting crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Now it'd be interesting to see if Kevin Love decides to move away from Cleveland. How will this play out? Will he take the hit? Will he be perceived as a selfish and ungrateful player?
You're right, though. If it was a black player, I could see him calling him selfish and saying like he's just immature. You know, not worried about winning and whatnot.
Yeah.
I totally agree. But it goes back. I'm going to go back to your Tristan Thompson thing. To me, honestly, if this team won the championship, I'm giving Tristan Thompson a max. I'm letting Kevin Love walk. But I understand what this team, what Cleveland is probably thinking, though, in the back burner. Like, man, you know what? We gave up Wiggins for nothing, man. We need to keep this dude. Like, you're trying to think of the back of your mind.
I've always stated you should have never given up Andrew Wiggins.
Like I'm saying, LeBron's to blame for that one, though.
I totally agree with you. I never think you should have given up Andrew Wiggins. If you keep Andrew Wiggins, now, you granted, you wouldn't have won a championship this year. Who knows if you would have gotten to this point this year.
Yeah.
But your next 12 to 15 years, you're set. When LeBron leaves,
you got Kyrie and Wiggins.
So you have a championship squad for a team that's going to compete for championships for the next 10 to 15 years.
And let me add this in too. Like, you're probably still going to the finals, to be honest with you. Because you can still make the trades that you made. You could have still got Timothy Mozgov.
All you needed was Amon Shumpert and J.R. Smith.
You still could have got them dudes.
And I don't even know if you would have had them to got J.R. Smith and Amon Shumpert.
You probably wouldn't need to. But say that, for instance, say Wiggins didn't do what you thought he was going to do off the bat.
Yeah.
You could have still made the trade to get those dudes.
Absolutely.
What I mean? So it's like, because LeBron had insight into, like, LeBron wanted J.R. You know what I mean? So LeBron wanted, he could have got J.R.
Yeah.
With Wiggins on the team. So this team could have still been set. Yeah. I also said LeBron was kind of doing too much. I've always said that. You know, some players shouldn't be GMs.
Yeah, but like you said, who knows if Andrew Wiggins develops into the star that he potentially could be if he's in Cleveland and look what he's did in Minnesota that first year. So
I will say this. I think Andrew Wiggins, to me, was blessed by the situation he's in now. He's a guy that was passive a little bit in Kansas to a certain extent. And, you know, when you're forced to be the man, you know, with that with the talent he does possess, you just had to bring it out. And I think that Minnesota was the best place for him to bring out his talents.
Yep.
So anyway, we're about to wrap up the show, though. But before we leave, you know what I'm saying, make sure you listen to our show on our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Again, it was a blessing. Listen, it was a blessing to give you all the sports information that we are giving you. I'm excited about the NBA Finals. I know my homeboy, Willie T, is too as well.
The Many Face God. That's my name.
The Many Face God?
The Many Face God.
The Many Face God.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if I'm comfortable calling you that. Can I give you another? Can we abbreviate that? Acronyms? MFG?
MFG. Many MFG? Face God. Yes.
MFG. I like that. We can do that, right?
MFG.
MFG. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So my homeboy MFG, I don't have an acronym name. I'm Walio. You know what I mean? So we'll listen to some Jay-Z.
Young Jeezy first.
Is Jay-Z on the joint? That's Jay-Z joint, right?
Yeah, that's Young Jeezy featuring Jay-Z, Seen It All.
Yeah, Seen It All, exactly. Yeah. I know, yeah, I remember. I got
Many Face God has Seen It All. I have. It's like, nah.
Let's do the V show. I can't.
But thank you all. We're sports fans just like you. You know, we just have a platform. You know, just want to get our voice heard. And we appreciate, for those who listen live or listen to the podcast, we appreciate you. We love you, respect you. And I won't be back next week. I don't know if Wally's still going
to
do the show.
I'm going to try to have a show. Depending on, maybe I'll just get Ray. I think Ray might be back to do that show.
Okay.
So
cool.
I may be able to do that show. Trying to get this thing correct.
But if not,
got it.
Holler at y'all when I holler at y'all.
All right, now, thanks for y'all listening to the show. We appreciate you. A mega, lead us out, homie. I pledge allegiance to the swag.